Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, Chapter 60, Advice to the Young. To the students of South Lancaster Academy, I would say, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Never be ashamed of your faith. Never be found on the side of the enemy. Ye are the light of the world. Your faith is to be revealed as precious truth, truth which all should have and all must have if they are saved. As a people, we are in the minority. We are not popular. Our enemies will be watching us for evil, to betray us and to ruin our souls. They will not appreciate our motives. They will misinterpret our earnest zeal and our intense desire to have others see and understand the truth, that they may do the will of God by obeying all His commandments. But we should fight the good fight of faith and be found steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It is with feelings of inexpressible sadness, and sometimes almost with despair, that I contemplate the condition of the young and see how difficult it is to encourage those to obtain an education to whom I know God has liberally entrusted capabilities. Without education, they will be crippled and inefficient in any position. Yet in gaining this education, they will be exposed to dangers and temptations. Satan will try to employ their cultivated abilities in his service. Some employ their powers to evil purposes. The subtle poison of sensuality courses through their veins, and it finds little obstruction in its way. It is fascinating, bewitching. The mind, which, with due regard for moral integrity, is capable of the highest degree of cultivation and literary excellence, is often degraded to administer to lust. Elevated morals and practical godliness have no charms for these deluded souls, and it is almost impossible to bring to bear upon them any influence, either by precept or example, that shall counteract the efforts of Satan to corrupt and ruin their souls. Unless these young men and women are willing to learn, willing to be counseled by those of experience, they will surely be led astray by the wiles of Satan. And unless those who teach them are steadily growing in grace and in a knowledge of the truth and in real spiritual discernment, they will be in danger, by their example and by advancing erroneous ideas, of unconsciously aiding the enemy in his work, leading souls to regard that is best for them which will bring the least good and be of the least benefit to their souls. The plans devised and carried out for the education of our youth are none too broad. They should not have a one-sided education, but all their powers should receive equal attention. Moral philosophy, the study of the scriptures, and physical training should be combined with the studies usually pursued in schools. Every power, physical, mental, and moral, needs to be trained, disciplined, and developed, that it may render its highest service. For unless all are equally developed, one faculty cannot do its work thoroughly without overtaxing some part of the human machinery. Much has been said and written in regard to the importance of training the mind for its highest service. This has sometimes led to the opinion that if the intellect is educated to put forth its highest powers, it will strengthen the physical and moral nature for the development of the whole man. Time and experience have proved this to be an error. We have seen men and women go forth as graduates from college who were in no way qualified to make a proper use of the wonderful physical organism with which God had provided them. The whole body is designed for action, not for inaction. If the physical powers are not taxed equally with the mental, too much strain is brought upon the latter. Unless every part of the human machinery performs its allotted tasks, the mental powers cannot be used to their highest capability for any length of time. Natural powers must be governed by natural laws, and the faculties must be educated to work harmoniously and in accord with these laws. The teachers in our schools can disregard none of these particulars without shirking responsibility. Pride may lead them to seek for a high worldly standard of intellectual attainment, that students may make a brilliant show. But when it comes to solid acquirements, those which are essential to fit men and women for any and every emergency in practical life, such students are only partially prepared to make life a success. Their defective education often leads to failure in whatever branch of business they undertake. Gymnasium exercises may, in some instances, be an advantage. They were brought in to supply the want of useful physical training and have become popular with educational institutions, but they are not without drawbacks. Unless carefully regulated, they are productive of more harm than good. Some have suffered lifelong physical injury through these gymnasium sports. The manual training connected with our schools, if rightly conducted, will largely take the place of the gymnasium.